All right, good morning. Let me open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together as the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the good gifts that you give us in and through the body and as the body, as your followers. And Lord, those gifts are because of our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his work, for his person and his work, his finished work on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to be drawn by your word. And Lord, that we'd be encouraged by your word and that we would be molded and shaped by your word. And Lord, I thank you for this body. I thank you for everyone that could be here this morning and pray for those that are still coming for the morning service. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So Sunday school has been a little bit broken up the last couple weeks. We had Easter last week, so we didn't have Sunday, and then we have Sunday school, and we have Sunday school today, and we won't have it. We will have it next week, but we won't have this lesson because our Bible conference speaker will be here, and he'll be teaching during Sunday school. And so, Brett Williams, and so looking forward to that time together. And then I think, as far as I know, we'll jump back in, and we've got a flow of time that won't be broken for a while. But the Lord's in charge of that, not me. So I want to jump in here, and we are in lesson 5. It's the same lesson that you had from a couple weeks ago. I handed it out, and there's one left on the table by Todd and Sarah there, if you need one. And so if you didn't have one, grab that one. And so we are on letter E. Temptation usually follows a pattern. I believe I gave you the blank just before I stopped that day, and I want to jump back in there, and we'll start working down through that. Temptation usually follows a pattern. Notice James 1, 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So notice here, the process of giving in to temptation often starts in very small ways. Starts in very small ways. First, we make minor compromises, and then we move on to greater and greater sin. Flagrant sin usually begins with small compromises. You think about people who are caught in flagrant sin, major sin, like ongoing sin. And it doesn't just all of a sudden one day they fell into sin is the word you often hear used, the phrase you often hear used. It's choices, decisions that people make that lead them in that direction. And all of a sudden we are snared. We are caught. Quote for you. Nearly every grave moral failure begins with a small sin because there comes a time after we toy with sin when one pull of the flesh causes us to cross the line, to disengage from reason, and to follow our appetites wherever they may lead. Chuck Collison that said that. That's a quote from him. A couple examples of that would be, you know, at least with one here, King David. When King David was merely caught the glimpse of a woman, and what? It led to multiple sins. Okay, he was enticed and he was lured and he followed after his desire, his lust there. And it led to adultery and murder and several other sins as well along that. The third thing here, it's very easy to toy with sin these days with the different media outlets providing loads of ungodly material. You must be very careful to avoid exposure. One of the ways in which I probably see this the most is, and you don't have to raise your hand for this, but if you watch shorts or reels. If you do, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your fishing rod reel, and I'm not talking about short people. That would be discriminatory. So I'm talking about YouTube shorts or reels, you know, shorts on Instagram, YouTube, those kinds of things. Those things are set up in a way, they very quickly, what you pause on, they fill you with. The things that you pause on, the things that you linger with, the things that you watch, all of a sudden your shorts and your reels are flooded with those videos. And it's not uncommon for people to ask, why am I getting this? Why am I seeing this? Because it's what you're dwelling on. And the reality is it does what? It exposes, in some ways, it exposes things that maybe we don't even know we're pausing on. Now, is that the perfect indicator of where I have problems in my heart? No, it's not. There's a lot of junk on there anyway that's going to show up, right? Some of it's funny. Some of it's this. Some of it's that. But a lot of it is just garbage. And the honest thing is it's a time waster. And you hear people being really, really addicted to them. But they do follow. There's an algorithm with them that they do follow that they catch on to your thinking very quickly. And they're programmed to do that. They're meant to do that. And so you're telling it without even realizing it what you like, what you want, what you desire. And it reads those very fast. And so that I'm just picking on that one. There is lots and lots of other things out there that that can get you in trouble very quickly. So there's lots of different ways. Yeah.
Observation, I think it's from Spurgeon, that the sin is the most dangerous is the one you most enjoy, because then it becomes an addiction.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Good. Letter F. Overcoming temptation is difficult. Overcoming temptation is difficult. Some people are under the mistaken impression that godly Christians are no longer tempted or struggle with sin. Such thinking is false. We've talked about this quite a bit, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But I would say this, that even mature godly Christians still suffer temptation. They still suffer this, they still struggle to overcome it. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans. Who can tell me where I'm going? Romans 7.
14.
It's in your notes, isn't it?
It is.
You should have known without that.
Plus, we talked about it.
We did. It was a test to those who came to the Romans study. Romans 7. Would somebody want to read 14 through 25 for us? Tim? Thank you.
Romans 7:14-25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Thank you, Tim. So as Tim reads that passage for us, how many of you And you don't, again, you don't have to raise your hands for this. How many of you can relate to what Paul's saying here? Yeah. Right? Yeah, my hand would be the first to go up. So, you know, as we think about that, we recognize, all of us recognize, if we're honest, we recognize that struggle with sin. We recognize that temptation for sin. That it's real. That it's always there. That it's sometimes really hard. And you know, as we think through this, I don't know how many times I've had people come in, or even I've thought to myself, or have expressed it to someone else when I'm talking with a trusted friend, that I'm saying, I don't know why I keep struggling with this. I don't know why this is so hard. I know it's not right, and I don't want to do it, or I don't want to say that, and it just keeps happening. I keep asking the Lord to take it away, and yet I keep failing because I keep giving into that temptation. I keep giving into that sin. And that struggle is very real, and it's very hard. And as we read Paul's words here in Romans 7, we can relate to those words very easily. We recognize that struggle. It doesn't mean you're not a believer. It doesn't mean you haven't trusted Christ. It doesn't mean you don't want to live for God's glory. It doesn't mean you don't want to obey Christ. What does it teach you? It teaches you that in all of these things can be true, and yet temptation is still real. The sin nature is still there. I'm not a slave to it. I'm not bonded to it because of the work of Christ, but it is still there. Temptation is still real. And that's why we're so thankful that when he gets down, he recognizes in verse 24, as Tim read, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul's like, I see my sinfulness, and I am absolutely wretched. But then he says in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. And he's just expressing that battle, and that battle in Christ is won. There's victory. But that battle in the flesh will always be lost. Will always be lost. And so as we think about these things, it's good for us to recognize them and to see them and to realize that if I struggle with sin as a Christian, number one, that's, can I say it, normal. I'm not alone in that. And number two, there's hope in that because of Christ. There's hope in that. And the fact that I struggle is a gift of God from the working of his grace. So as we think through these things, it helps us to understand, because there's Christians who say, I'm saved, I know, I ask God to save me, I believe in God, why am I struggling? Because there's a battle that wars within you now. And that battle is real, and that battle is raging. Number two, here, I think I have this in your notes. Temptation and struggle are a normal part of the Christian life. This does not excuse our sin. Notice that it does not excuse our sin, but it admits that overcoming temptation is difficult for everyone. In other words, no one should expect to be exempt from this. If someone is sitting across from you saying, man, it's been a blessing ever since I've been saved, I just don't struggle with sin anymore. They're lying to you. Or they're not saved and they don't even recognize their struggle. They're not even aware of that struggle. Number three, because of the strength of human lust and because of the dangers of yielding to sin, Christians must work hard to overcome temptation. Christians must work hard to overcome temptation. So what I want to do with the remainder of our time here this morning is I want to finish this lesson by really thinking through some strategies to overcome temptation. Strategies to overcome temptation. What are some things that we should be doing as believers? This is not an exhaustive list. It's not the perfect list. It doesn't include everything we should be doing, but it's a starter list, right? So what are some things that we should do? We know that we will face temptations daily. We know that we struggle to control our natural human appetites. We know that flagrant sin often starts with small compromises. What else do we need to know to overcome temptation? Let's think about this a little bit. The first one I would suggest to you is recognize and admit your human frailties and weaknesses. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. The first thing I would say to you about that is that we may think that we are somehow beyond temptation. And I would say to you, this is just not true. Given the right set of circumstances, the right pressures, we very well might give in and we very well might yield to temptation. We must be on guard. We must be careful. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the great king, no one would have expected David in his life where he was to commit adultery and murder. No one would have expected that. But given the right set of circumstances, he did what? He sinned grievously. He sinned. We must be honest about temptation. We must be honest about our sin. We must be honest about the battle with it, that it's real. When you walk into church on Sunday morning and you're struggling and you want to find someone to pray with you, don't be scared to do that. Because that brother or sister that you asked to pray with you, to sit down and talk with you, to read some scripture with you, is facing that same battle and that same struggle. Maybe not with that same sin in the moment. Matter of fact, if they are, they're probably, you want to look some, you know, maybe both of you sit down with someone else. But the reality is that all of us are facing that struggle. All of us are in the midst of that battle. None of us are exempt from it. We should not be afraid to be honest about our frailties and our weakness. Pray for me this week. I'm struggling with. Pray for me this week. I'm going to be in this situation because of my work or whatever. And I'm just asking for God to give me strength. I'm asking for God to keep me faithful. Keep me on the right path. My son's not here, my oldest son. He's at work. But I pray for my son constantly because he now is a corrections officer in the Rush City Prison. And as a parent, that scares me, not for his safety, but for his innocence, his walk with God, his walk with the Lord. And I express that to him all the time. I pray for you. I'm praying for you. I'm asking God to keep you faithful. I'm asking God. His weekend off now is Wednesday, Thursday. He misses every Sunday morning as of right now, the way his schedule is. He didn't ask for that. That's not what he wanted, but it's where he's at. And so we have those conversations. Like, you need to be in the Word. You need to be reading. You need to be doing this. Why? Do I think John is weak? Yeah, I do. But I know that because his dad is weak. It's not because he's weaker than I am. It's because we're both weak. And we both are frail. And we both face the same temptations. And I know that circumstances matter. I know that influences matter. I know that all kinds of those things that are coming into your life and you see and you hear, all those things matter. My son is spending several hours in a facility that is housing people that have made decisions that have put them there, that have caused them to be separated and locked up from the rest of society. They're saying things to him. They're doing things to him. They're throwing things at him. They're mocking him. They're ridiculing him. That's just the reality of his world now. But folks, you and I might not work in the Rush City prison, but you and I work in the world. We live in a world that does the exact same thing. That hates God, hates his word, hates his son, hates his church. And would love nothing more than to diminish the testimony of Christ. Satan is a roaring lion looking who he can devour, who he can prey upon. He wants his foot in that door. He just wants a start. He's looking for us to make that one time that we would concede to temptation, even just in the littlest bit, and he jams his foot in the door. And he keeps coming back, and he keeps pounding, and he keeps pounding. The reality is, we're weak. We're frail. We need Christ. We need his power. God is not weak. He is not frail. He is the victor, and we are through him. Which leads me to letter B here. Rely on God's strength and the resources he provides. First Corinthians 10:13, we know that text. There's no temptation but such as common to man. God makes a way of escape. Sorry, that's the Greg version. But God is faithful is the point. God is faithful. The solution to the problem is God. God provides all the resources we need to overcome temptation. Letter B. We must admit that the solution is not within ourselves. It is not merely a matter of willpower or self-control. We must bring God into this. We must rely on his power to get us through the temptations. We must constantly call out to God and rely on him for help and strength. Constantly. We must rely on God's strength. We must also recognize that God is faithful and that God has promised not to allow temptations beyond our ability to withstand them. We can't claim that we had no choice. We can't claim that there was no way out of the temptation. We can't claim that I had to sin. There was no other way to go. I was overwhelmed and I couldn't control myself. I was intoxicated. I didn't know what I was doing. I was high on drugs. I had no clue that that was happening. Giving in to one temptation that leads to more bad decisions doesn't excuse the following bad decisions. Sin compounds. Sin builds. Number two, God has promised to allow those. A couple of thoughts here. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the right context for that verse. I don't have to give in to temptation. I know God has made a way of escape. This temptation may be hard. It may seem impossible to me. It may seem insurmountable. And yet, I can trust God's word and look for the way of escape that God has provided because I know it's there. I don't have to sin in this. I don't have to make a wrong choice. I don't have to disgrace God in his name. I don't have to ruin his testimony or mine. I don't have to do those things because God has told me in his word that he's made a way of escape. He's told me in his word that no such temptation has taken me, but such as common to man. And with that temptation, he has provided a way. We can trust him. I can do it because he has provided the ability to do it. He has given me the ability to do it. Not because I am strong. Not because I am bigger or better than this temptation or anyone else. It's Christ. It's all Christ. It's all God. Contrary to what people tell us, we are not mere animals who must follow our instincts. Follow your gut. It's terrible advice. With God's help, we can control ourselves. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. We need to think through that, recognize that. A third way, God will provide a way of escape or the way to bear the temptation. I already talked about this quite a bit. I'm not going to spend much time on this here. But escape is a good strategy for dealing with temptation. Flee youthful lust, James 4:7. Sometimes we can't escape from temptation. We can't flee from our circumstances. We must bear up under long-standing temptation. This is difficult. I get it. It's difficult. But it's not impossible. Genesis 39:10. As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her and to be with her. Long-standing temptation. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Next thought, we should pray. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. We read this verse earlier. Why? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray. Prayer is an admission that you need help to overcome temptation and an appeal to God for strength. The reality is it's not impossible, but it is hard. It's hard to yield to temptation immediately after you've prayed and asked God to help you resist that temptation. If I am continually, steadfastly praying and asking God to keep me from that sin, to protect my mind, to protect my heart, to protect my walk, my thoughts, and so on, and I'm in his word and I'm praying and I'm asking, it is hard. Not impossible, but it is hard for me then to go ahead and just do that anyway. Pray. Also resist. James 4:7, resist means to set oneself against, to withstand, to oppose. It suggests active opposition, not merely holding steady. Understand the difference. Active opposition, not merely holding steady. Therefore, in a temptation, we actively resist, we oppose the devil. We pull back, we oppose, not merely trying to hold steady. And letter E here, consider the consequences of giving in to temptation. Count the costs. You reap what you sow, Galatians 6:7-8. Sin has consequences. A great aid to overcoming temptation to think about and foresee the fallout from your sin. Had David known the outcome of his sin, it is unlikely he would have given in. The worst consequence, 2 Samuel 12:14, which was when David's son died. The old saying that you've probably heard is this: sin always keeps you longer than you want to stay, makes you go farther than you intended to go, and makes you pay a higher price than you intended to pay. It's true of sin. It's still true of sin. Unfortunately, the appeal of the fleshly passion is so strong that a person is often willing to risk virtually everything to fulfill a desire. I have literally had people sit across from me, and as I'm walking through the consequences of sin, their response to me is, I don't care. I want this. They have so convinced themselves that this is the right thing to do. But the reality is this, that I can't sit there and judge them for that as I continue to speak truth to them, because I know there are times in my own heart when I've made foolish decisions, when I knew the consequences to that decision, and my sinful heart wanted what it wanted. Count the costs. Fill your mind with the word of God and with other good things. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. By guarding it. 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here Jesus provides good examples for us. In Matthew, Jesus provides good examples for us when Satan was tempted. When Satan tempted Jesus, how did he respond? His exact words were what? As it is written. He turned right to the word. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The reality is this, is that garbage in and garbage out may be just a cliche, but it's true in many ways. Anyone seriously attempting to overcome temptation must control their thought life. That means that one must control what comes into his mind and what we think about. Thought life matters. The battle is real in that. Letter G, replace the bad with the good. Ephesians 4:22-24. Replacement is an important strategy in overcoming temptation. Ending the old sinful behaviors, we need to understand, must be combined with what? Initiating new godly patterns. You must both stop. That's what Ephesians tells us. And you must start doing. Put off the old man. Renew the mind. Put on the new man. You're stopping. You're changing your thinking. And you're putting on the new. Letter H. Oops, sorry, I went the wrong way. Satisfy your appetites in appropriate ways. Here's the reality. It might seem weird that I would say it that way, but I want us to understand this. God has provided proper means of fulfilling our passions and our desires. The Bible gives us full permission to satisfy those desires in appropriate ways. For the sake of time, I'm not going to look up these passages, but you can look up Proverbs 5:15 through 18 and 1 Corinthians 7:2 and 9. I think they're there in your notes. But in some cases, one has to wait to satisfy his natural desire. Example would be marriage. The desire for intimacy. The reality is many factors make it hard to wait. One of those factors is you live in a world that tells you you don't have to wait. That does everything they can possibly do to give you everything you possibly can have before your eyes. And everything else to tell you it's okay. It's not okay. That appetite, that desire is a God-given desire. But it's intended to be fulfilled in a God-given way. And not outside of that. Unfortunately, the human heart has almost infinite capacities for sin. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that. Who can know it? We don't even understand how wicked and deceitful our heart is. So even if you're seeking to fulfill your desires legitimately, it does not shield you completely from temptation, but it certainly helps. Another thought here. Letter I, undercut, weaken, and starve out sinful fleshly desires. A couple points I want to make here. Those who continually feed the sinful desire of the flesh should not be surprised when they have no power to withstand temptation. I worked with a guy in the past who struggled with alcohol. And I'm just using that as an example. It's not the only one. And one of the things that he agreed to in meeting with me was he had to stop drinking. And he had to remove any alcohol from his home. And he had to stop going to places where alcohol was available. Because he wasn't strong enough to stay away from it. Every time he was by it, he gave into his lust, his desire. And we would do really well for 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the time. And then he would come in and he would say, I drank this week. And we'd go another period of time and then he would come in and say, I drank this week. And then he came in one time and I said, I suspected he had been drinking, not because he was sitting across from me drunk, because some of the things he was telling me he did. And I said, did you drink this week? And he said, nope. I was pretty confident he did. And he came in the next week and he said, I lied to you last week. I was drinking. And I said, it wasn't hard to figure that out. I was pretty confident you were lying to me. And the reality is that as we think about it, you have to get that away from you. You have to take it out of your life. The media can be a powerful vehicle for temptation. Modern entertainment is filled with sensual, provocative images and ideas. Such content feeds the flesh. Those who are serious about withstanding temptation must resist or cut off all sources that feed the sinful nature. Letter J. Take practical steps to protect yourself. So these are some things that you can do here to protect yourself. One, seek an accountability partner. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The reality is this, and I will speak for myself. I know there are times in my life when I am more tempted with things than I am at other times. I know several of my weaknesses. And I know when it's wise for me to go talk with someone and to say, pray for me. This is going on in my life, and I don't want to give in to this temptation. Because I know human nature. I know my human nature. I know my own sinfulness. Accountability partners are good. Trusted friends, other trusted men or women who are faithful and walk with the Lord. Those are gifts from God to help us and to encourage us, that will point us to Christ in that. The second one, be careful with whom you spend time. Friends can be a significant source of temptation. Proverbs 1:10, if sinners entice thee, or 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins what? Good morals. I need to click through these here. Install safeguards. like the internet filters, cable TV controls, or get rid of the cable TV, disconnect it if needed. Keep yourself occupied. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Here's another thought connecting to one earlier. Stay away from things that excite your lustful passions. YouTube or Instagram shorts, the computer, TV, the gym, the pool, and so on. Keep your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. A couple left and we'll be done. Be sensitive about sin. Don't compromise or toy with it. Don't rationalize it. Don't excuse it. This isn't a game. It's not something we should play with. We don't have the strength to do that or the right. Number seven, if you do fall into sin, respond appropriately. Admit it, confess it, forsake it. Make restitution if necessary. And in some extreme cases, some extreme measures may be necessary. Some sins are very difficult to overcome, especially those who have been ingrained in a person's behavior. In cases where that normal methods of overcoming temptation don't work, more extreme measures may be necessary. A person may have to restrict or cut off everything that is associated with that sinful behavior. He may have to submit himself to external regulation and control until he is able to gain self-control. The reality is this. Understand this. We live in a world that is full of temptations. Yet we must seek to withstand temptation. We must remember that God is faithful and that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. God has provided all the necessary resources necessary for believers to deal with temptation and to live a godly life. Personal problems are directly traceable to sin, and sin is the result of giving into temptation. Both counselors and counselees, remember we're talking about counseling here, both counselors and counselees must understand the nature of temptation and the biblical means of withstanding it. All right? So that is our lesson on temptation. We'll jump into lesson 6 in 2 weeks, and we'll go from there. You're dismissed.